bless our time, and thank you. It's good to see each of you. Father, we thank you just for our time to pray together. I want to thank you for the saints, this family of prayer warriors. We won't know until we get to heaven the impact it's had, but we believe it's had a lot of impact, and so we thank you. We just ask that you will continue to work in us and through us, and even now that we'll look at our material, that it might be what you want. It would be done in your way, by your Spirit, to accomplish your will. We need thee every hour, and of course we need thee right now. So we just entrust our time to you. In Christ's name, amen. We've been talking about Timothy and trying to learn some things from him in his life pattern about a servant. And stepping back from that, we're trying to learn how a servant mentors a servant. I think we all realize this, and we've talked about it in measure, but I'm sure we've all thought about it, is the future for the ministry here. We've even as we were praying together, there's a lot to be thankful for. We really have a lot to be thankful for. But we know that it's only by God's grace and protection and our ministry, him working in and through us, that will sustain that and hopefully have strong ministry in years to come as long as the Lord tarries. That's one thing I think to pray for, that we'll be faithful to the Lord until we're with the Lord. And that, you know, when things, to the measure that we, obviously we don't see it exactly the way the Lord sees it for sure, but to be thankful for what God is doing and ask him to continue to work and even go beyond that, to do more than, we don't want to just be self-satisfied. We don't want to just be content with where we're at. We want to be thankful for what God has done, thankful, but we want to continue to progress. And we see lots of little lives. You think of all the, someone said in our prayer time, what a joy to see these little lives, and they're smiling and running around, and you're trying to make sure you keep your balance because they're zipping around, you know, but such a joy, you know. Somebody said one time, oh, I'm sorry, my child was yelling during the message, and I thought, it almost gives me inspiration, you know, because you know there's some life out there, and somebody's awake, you know, somebody. So anyway, but we want to see those who are older and see things passed on all the way down to when we see little grandchildren running around and young people. And so we wanted just that to happen. So we want to look at some principles, continue to look at principles that can help us. If we're going to mentor servants, we have to be servants. We have to be what the Lord wants us to be. And one thing he calls us is to be servants. And Timothy is a wonderful example of a servant with a servant's heart. He was always willing to do what he was called upon to do. It's interesting. We learn just little reflections on his life. And sometimes people have said of Timothy, and it seems to be true, that Timothy was probably a lot more timid than Paul was. You know, he had stomach problems. I think if I was working with Paul, I'd probably have stomach problems too. You know, you think, oh man, what did he say that? Where's Paul? Oh, he's in jail. You know, you think. But anyway, but that didn't stop him from serving the Lord. And you know, we all have different personalities. Some people are outgoing, some people are more reserved. But we learn from Timothy pictures and snapshots of a servant's heart. So some of his willingness to be a servant is seen, and this is just a part of it, but on Paul's third missionary journey. And here are some snippets that I want to draw some principles from. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. And Paul states this. He says in verse 17, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere and in every church." Now, I was looking at that. There's so much there. First, my beloved. You know, that was not just a caption. That's a heartfelt. He loved Timothy. The Lord loved Timothy. Paul loved Timothy. My beloved. You know, I do think it's a wonderful thing when we have brothers and sisters in Christ where we have a mutual love in the Lord, beloved. And so he was loved. Obviously, he must have been loving, obviously, in his reflection. But notice what I want to highlight, faithful. And we're going to come back to that, but faithful child in the Lord. One of the marks that is so critical of a servant is just faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, I've shared some of the instances, and just somebody the other day I was talking, I don't remember in the context, but when my dad in the farming, we had a variety at different times. He'd have different hired help, and some of the hired help was pretty dependable, but some of the hired help, if you left their presence, and the reason I noticed it is because sometimes I would end up working with them, and then Dad would leave, right? Well, I was working with the hired help. Well, I saw more than they thought I was supposed to observe, you know, because they were just taking a break. The boss not here, so you take a break. And you begin to realize those who were faithful, those who were not faithful, those who kept the word, those who didn't keep the word. And I think it's just important for us. And again, faithfulness is a quality that comes by God's power through the Spirit. But to be people, if we say we will do something, we do our best to fulfill it. We try to keep our word. We try to accomplish what God has put before us. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're faithful. We try to be faithful and follow through. And that's one thing about a servant. And I think a lot of times, again, we've said this so many in various, you know, we've all said it in various, but more is caught than taught. You know, we can say, well, you need to be faithful. But if you watch somebody who is faithful and you work beside them, that's a huge message. It's a message that inspires other people and motivates other people. Now, of course, some people are not planning to do much no matter what you do. But let's say you take a younger person and you're working alongside them, and you're not saying, well, you be faithful, you know, but you're just working. Just think at the Hope Valley dinner. And so you've got people working in the kitchen, you've got people on all variety of things. But some of these younger people that are working the tables, you know, doing the stuff, they're getting a lesson. They're learning things, even the unspoken things. But they're watching people who are faithful to do the kitchen work, do the, you know, clean up the stuff. And then what's happening? Then they have opportunities to do some of these things, and they're learning to be faithful by example. You're not having a major sermon on faithfulness, but you're having a major example on faithfulness. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And just remember, we all know this, but more and more I'm aware, somebody's always watching. You know, you don't think anybody paid any attention, but people watch. But we want to have a kind of example. People watch us and they follow through, and that there's a sense of faithfulness both in example and in those who follow that example. Now, notice also in the same verse, faithful children of the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. So, Timothy had traveled with Paul. He had sat through a number of these messages that Paul had. You know, he's going where Paul's going, and he's heard those messages that I teach everywhere in every church. So he's, you know, I don't know if he's taken notes, but he's obviously been impacted by the message, the core of what Paul has been teaching. But notice what caught my attention as I was looking at this. He will remind you of my ways which are in Christ. Notice what Paul is saying here. He said, I am sure that Timothy will tell you the same message that I've been teaching. You see, he is assured, he's confident that Timothy's not going to distort the message. He's not going to distort, you know, like a false teacher in 1 John, which I've spent a lot of time the last year, 1 John, but it says, John writes, he says, there will be many false prophets. There will be many antichrists, he says. It kind of caught my attention, many. You think, whoa. But isn't that true? If we look around our world, there's many people who are contrary to Christ who say they're religious. And so, but one thing about a servant, a faithful servant, is that you can trust them to tell the truth, to share what is consistent with God's word. And so I just, that caught my attention. I thought, you know what, that's an important quality, that we can be trusted. You see, we're faithful in whatever God calls us to do, but we can be trusted to pass on the truth, trusted to pass on the truth as it is, and not mess with it, not twist it, distort it. And there's so many, who have false messages. We don't want to live a pessimistic life, but we need to be wise. That every time somebody's religious that says something doesn't mean it's true. But we want to make sure we pass on the truth and can be trusted to do that. Now, let's go to another passage, Acts 19:22. And again, we'll just go to a variety of passages looking for principles. And this one is a straightforward one, but I just want to highlight it a little bit. And in Acts 19:22, and it says, "And having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to me, Timothy and Erastus, Paul himself stayed in Asia for a while." Now, what I thought, just the little phrase, those who ministered to him. So not only Timothy ministered alongside Paul to the audiences, the crowds, the people, but he ministered to Paul. He ministered to Paul. How important it is that we serve one another. And I know I'm talking to a group of people who serve one another. That's a wonderful thing. It's a thing again, by example, as we serve one another, other people watching on, we can mentor, pass on the baton that they learn to serve one another. That one another thing is such an important principle in the body of Christ. To minister to him and to minister to each other. It might be a variety of ways that I was thinking, this just came to my mind. But Sunday morning, the bus dropped Shelley off, in the wheelchair. And so the lady, I just happened to catch this out of my eye, the lady brings her in the front door and pushes her in and just leaves her, right? I'm sure she didn't want to bother the service or whatever. But anyway, it was interesting. She's right there. Linda Tippett saw that, and of course they're good friends, but she went up immediately, went to where the wheelchair was, and took Shelley and helped her with her coat and got her in place, right? That's ministering to one another, right? That's a wonderful ministry. I'm sure she's probably watching for it anyway, but just like that, she was up and she took care of that. So that's a wonderful example. By the way, Linda's having surgery tomorrow. So pray for her eyes. I was talking to her husband just a little bit. She has blood pressure in her eyes, and so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Karen. That's right. So anyway, she has early stages of what is it, glaucoma? Anyway, I don't want to say too much. I might be wrong. I know it was said, but anyway, Brian was telling me. But anyway, she's got this, you know, significant hereditary problem. Her parents had it. Now she battles it. But anyway, a good, wonderful example of ministry to other people, even when she has her own needs, right? Okay, let's go to another passage. This one is in Romans 16:21. Romans 16:21. I was thinking of this is a very interesting list. Paul gets to the end of Romans, and then he lists all these different people. And so I was just trying to think of the implications of some of the way he refers to these different people. It's, I'm sure there's a story behind each one. But if you notice in 16:21, it says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. Now, of course, this is in a list of a number of other people that are already mentioned and appreciated, who were those who had either a friendship or had ministry with Paul. But anyway, again, notice, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. My fellow worker. Now, one of the things that jumped out at me on this, first of all, and this is assumed, but Timothy was not lazy. He was a worker. He was a worker. If you gave him a job, he would follow through. He was a worker. But the other thing that jumped out at me about this, he is a fellow worker, a fellow worker. Now, at first of all, it didn't resonate, but the more I thought about it, Timothy could work with Paul. As, you know, some people cannot work with other people. They you know, it's either my way or the highway kind of attitude, or they get, you know, they get upset about something, or and so, you know, some people are just not good at working with other people, or other people think, man, I don't want to work with them, you know, so whatever. But my fellow worker, I thought, what a compliment, what a compliment. And, you know, the thing is, when we, no matter who we work with, we're different than they are. And there always has to be give and take. It's just the way it is working with somebody else. There's give and take. You know, some people do something that you'd never do it that way. You think, well, that's weird, that's awkward, that's, you know. But there's give and take. And in ministry, there has to be give and take. And hopefully we're always learning. But working together is a wonderful thing. Unity is a very critical thing. And thank the Lord that for the measure of unity we have. May God protect that. Right? I think that's one thing we just, may God protect our unity. May we have wholesome, healthy unity. But anyway, fellow worker. Now, the notice, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 3:2 for a moment. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Okay. When I, you know, Timothy was such a significant part of Paul's ministry. And it said, excuse me, and we sent Timothy, verse 2, we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker, again, we have that phrase, in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. In ministry and in serving, We need to strengthen and encourage each other in our faith. Probably in every prayer room tonight, something was mentioned about our culture. at least, and I'm sure, you know, if you watch the news and you think, oh, man, they can't believe that happened, right? And we need to be strengthened. It came across, Marty came across, I don't know if you saw it, but it was the doctor who discovered the virus. Did you see, I don't know if you saw that. And that wasn't an interesting testimony. He's a Christian, and he discovered this terrible virus, and they apparently would not pay attention to what he had to say. In fact, it seems like the Chinese, if anybody said anything about the virus, they just shut him down and didn't want any bad publicity. This guy, he wrote this poem, and it was interpreted. It was amazing statement. I thought of his Christian faith, and but you look at that, and now it showed a picture of him when he was healthy and his wife, and a little baby, and she is now expecting, but she has this virus now. So you look at this and you say, that was so unright. That was just so wrong, the way the government treated them. They wouldn't listen to this man. And then he died. He wrote this poem before he died. You know, he knew he was going to die. And he knew his wife had the infection. So you say, and then, and of course, he's thinking about, before he died in this poem, he's thinking about his wife. He's thinking about his little, they have a baby, a little one. And then they have a baby his wife's expecting. So you say, that is just so wrong. What, the world is so unjust. In the midst of all of this, though, no matter where we're at, and thank the Lord we live in a land that has lots of freedom at present, but we need to be strengthened. Think of all these dear Christians in China. They need to be strengthened and encouraged. And so I just think one thing about a servant is we try to be sensitive to people who need encouragement. You know, when people walk in the door on a Sunday morning, a lot of, unless you know the backside of their story, you've been on the phone with them or you've known them for a while, a lot of times we don't know what people are going through. We don't know what people are battling. But everybody that comes in that door, if they know the Lord Jesus, they need to be strengthened and encouraged, because they, at that moment, they might be doing all right, but next week might be totally different, right? And that's one thing God wants us to do. And to be, I think part of the point is to be sensitive. When we're around people, do they need a word of encouragement today? Do they need to be strengthened in the faith? It may just be, you know, to bring, that's one of the wonderful things, like, and Jerry ministered to us on Sunday, you know, but the word of God strengthens us, right? And we think of the angelic and all the things behind the scenes and all the things that we need to know, and Dr. Jeremiah, this was mentioned as well, you know, think about heaven. Boy, we need to be reminded of heaven, don't we? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Well, that's an encouragement. That strengthens us. That encourages us, because thank the Lord, this is not all there is. That doctor is now with the Lord, right? So for the Christian, yes, it may be totally unjust in this world, but there's a day coming, and we have a hope. Because that day is coming. And so we need to encourage, but that's part of our encouragement, right? We encourage each other, you know? When we grieve with those who grieve, Marty and I were talking to a dear friend of ours in Nova Scotia, and they're grieving right now on something. But you know, they need to be encouraged. It's a hard, they're in a hard spot right now. But that's true for so many of our dear brothers and sisters. So that's part of a servant. To encourage. And then one thing, if you, maybe I'll just ask you this question to think, and I don't expect an answer unless you really wanted to share it, but think of a time you're really down and somebody said a word or sent a card or had a prayer or something that really just, like, your day turned around as a result of that, you know? And thank the Lord for that person that day, right? And we all have those days that we need that. None of us are exempt from those days. So, but for God to use us. Okay. Now, I just... Let me read one other verse. 1 Timothy 4:6. And it's talking about Timothy again. Paul's talking to Timothy. And he says, 1 Timothy 4:6, in pointing out, Timothy, he's talking to Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Now, obviously there's two sides to this. We have to constantly be nourished in God's truth. We have to take it in. You know, being where the word is taught and then taking in the word in our own devotional times and just learning, just drawing. There's so much... You know, there's so much we don't know. I mean, God is infinite. There's always more to know. But also, as we draw near to Him, our souls are nourished. And so we're encouraged by Him, nourished in Him. His truth permeates our lives, changes us. But then we point those things out to others. And if we do that, we'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Isn't that... You know, so your devotional time is very important for you, but it's also important for others, right? It's important for others. Because, you know, isn't it amazing sometimes they share, the Lord showed me this. And then maybe a couple weeks later, that really meant something to you. That really ministered to you. And so take it in and share it out to be a good servant. This is, you know, being a servant. You probably heard of the man Robert Chapman. He lived 1803 to 1902. There really was not a lot known about him. Actually, I think before he died, he destroyed a lot of his letters. And I think part of the reason was he didn't want people to idolize him. But he was very respected in England. And he had a very godly life. He was a single man, but he would have people in, like they might be there for an evening or maybe stay overnight, or sometimes they would stay for weeks. And when they would come to his house, let me just read this. This is in a book about him. After they would arrive... He would show the guests their rooms that they were going to stay in, and he would instruct them to leave their boots or shoes outside the door so that he could clean them by morning. Typically, the guest would object to him doing such a menial task, but he insisted that he wanted to do this. One guest recorded Chapman's answer to his objection, to the guest's objection. He says, Chapman said, "It is not the custom in our day to wash one another's feet. That which most nearly corresponds to the command of the Lord is clean each other's boots." He was a real servant. He was a real servant. And God wants us to be servants. I got some boots at home you can work on if you want. joke. But to serve one another. To serve one another in ways that God allows us to serve. May we be good servants of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Timothy's life. What a wonderful example to us. We thank you for that. May we grow in having servant hearts and servant activities in serving one another so that we not only will be servants, but we will, by our example, mentor others to be servants. We just pray, Father, for the health and the safety and the long-lasting ministry, that we will mentor servants and we will be faithful to you. We will be good servants of Jesus Christ until we're with Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.